are back. It's Health Matters, brought to you by Integrated Rehabilitation Group. Maury Eskenazi, Shannon O'Kelly. We want to welcome our first guest from Western Washington Medical Group. He specializes in gastrology. March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and joining us is Dr. Edward Schlossberg. Now, my first question is, Dr. Edward Schlossberg's married to Caroline Kennedy, right?
No.
No.
Real close, and thank you for having me here today.
Oh, thanks for joining us.
When I was in New York, when I was in medical school, it was around the time when Edwin Schlossberg, C-H and two S's,
uh-huh.
got engaged.
Okay.
And back in the day when we were old, and no one else is going to remember this, that we had answering machines, I came back to my dorm only to find messages saying, Mr. Schlossberg, can we please interview you? and I kindly just ignored them because I realized I was way out of my league.
Okay.
Interesting, okay. Interesting. So your specialty is gastrology. And so help us understand how one becomes a gastrologist, I mean, from a medical school perspective.
Well, what happens is when you go through medical school, you have about 4 years of training. About halfway through that, you're going to decide whether or not you want to move on into an area. Now, whether or not that splits to surgery or to medicine is kind of a big split, but you make a choice, and I ended up going into internal medicine. So all gastroenterologists is trained as general internists and medicine doctors there. That's probably a bad phrase. But anyway, what happens is then you choose a subspecialty as you go through your residency, so 3 more years halfway through that. And what happened was, the flippant answer is no, I didn't graduate the bottom of my class. You know, I didn't have a bad view of the world. I was doing some rotations, and you go through specialty rotations. You meet the doctors. You see the clinical aspect of what's going on. You're in the operating room. You're in the pulmonologist and critical care units. And I was also – and I really like to work with my hands, but I like to get to know patients. And they all of a sudden put me in the endoscopy suite. So you have to understand, in 1989, either way, it's ancient.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm thinking of the 1918 colonoscopy kind of scares me, because I know leeches are involved somehow,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Hey, they came back. Don't forget.
I know.
But they handed me a colonoscope, and there's this high-def thing. It means it's the best video game in the world. So I said, I can do this. I can be a doctor and also
you got a great sense
games.
Of humor, don't you?
You do it with my point of view.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Your point of view, you got to have a good sense of humor. That's great.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about colorectal cancer, because it's been in the news. I mean, Katie Couric made it famous, 4 or 5 years ago.
I've actually got a story about that, if you'd like.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's very sad. Katie Couric's husband was diagnosed at age 42.
40, okay. young man.
Yeah, Jay Monahan. And the reason why I have a bit of knowledge about that is one of my college friends, and by the way, we played video games. Half of our laundry quarters went to video games and not to playing laundry, University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Mark Pachapin, I know he won't mind giving his name, is the man who diagnosed, not doctor who diagnosed her husband. And in fact, has worked with Katie Couric in advancing the knowledge about colon cancer awareness and helped create the J. Monahan Cancer Center. And he heads it up. He's a director. So Mark's a good friend. Well, an old friend. Haven't seen him in a while. But
Small world, huh?
Yeah, so that's how we've had a strong connection to that as well.
Yeah, and this is a cancer that is very treatable, and the survival rates are increased if it's diagnosed early. Am I fair to say that?
I mean, the key things to understand about this is that colon cancer, if found at a treatable stage, and that varies, and we won't go into too much detail, but you can say that after 5 years, there can be a 60-65% cure rate. Now, please understand, though, and that's what I want everyone else to hear out there, is we can prevent colon cancer with a colon cancer screening program. We don't have to wait until you get it. And
right.
The problem with colon cancer is that it's insidious. By the time you feel the symptoms, horse is out of the corral, chances of spread are much higher.
What are the symptoms?
Yeah, I hear that about a lot of cancers. Yeah, what are the symptoms?
Symptoms by the time a cancer gets large enough is that you may have a change in bowel habit. You may change to more constipated area. You might have some diarrhea. You might see some red blood in the stool. There can be weight loss, change in appetite, abdominal cramping. These can be subtle. These can be intense. A lot of people could attribute them to hemorrhoids or things like that and unfortunately ignore the symptoms.
Right.
And so give me some ideas. I mean, screening, I'm just about ready. I'm not afraid to say this, but I'm just about ready to turn 50 this summer. And 50 seems to be kind of the magic number age-wise for a colonoscopy.
The reasons for that are that in our lifetime, we're going to have a 5% chance of getting colorectal cancer. Excuse me. But about greater than 90% of those cases will occur after the age of 50. It doesn't mean it can't occur earlier. And if you don't have any above-average risk factors, the age of 50 is when we recommend the screening time.
And so when you say risk factors, what kind of risk factors is are you genetically predisposed to this? Is it eating habits? Is it male versus female? Weight? Anything like that that predisposes?
Genetic factors are out there. The typical one is choose your parents and grandparents very well.
I think I did.
Yeah. Okay, good. That'll get you longevity and health. But if you have a immediate family member, a parent, sibling, or child in some cases, who've had colon cancer, that raises your relative risk. You need to be screened sooner. If there are certain genetic disorders, which are pretty small in percentages, but out there, there's something called hereditary non-polyposis colon cancer. There's something called FAP, familial adenomatous polyposis. And these people will have enormous numbers of polyps. It is autosomal dominant. It means when the parent had it, you're going to get it.
Mm.
And cancer is virtually assured in your lifetime. And so those people need to be checked and screened. And when we find that in a patient, we start telling them, let's get a genetic analysis. We have some really great people who do that. And then you can get a screening program designed for you and the family.
Now, if that's the case, would it be, would you recommend them having like colonoscopies earlier than 50?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It could be as early as age 20.
Got it.
In those cases. And let me give you, if I may.
Absolutely.
Our best understanding of colon cancers, other than those genetic ones, is that colon cancers will arrive from what we call colon polyps, benign little growths on the lining of the colon. And on average, they will grow about a millimeter a year. And when they get to greater than 10 millimeters is the higher risk of developing cancer. So if I diagnose colon cancer in someone who's 65, you figure that the colon cancer may have been developing 10 years earlier, still falls within the average risk. But if I diagnose the person at age 50 with colon cancer, I'm going to tell every family member related to them gets scoped at age 40, not 50.
Does everybody, have a benign polyps in their colon?
No.
Okay, so a polyp is not normal.
Well, it's not normal, but it's common, and it is usually sporadic.
Sporadic. And polyps, if it progresses, it becomes cancerous.
Not all.
Not all.
There are different types of polyps. There's something called hyperplastic when we find those. And you cannot tell this just by looking at it. It has to be taken out and seen by the pathologist looking at the tissue. That has zero risk of colon cancer ever. So when we see those, we can still treat that as if it never existed. Something called an adenoma, you take that out, you can prevent colon cancer. A villous adenoma, more aggressive polyp, but not cancer. And then, of course, there's cancer.
Wow.
We're talking with Dr. Ed Schlossberg from Western Washington Medical Group about colon cancer. So as far as colonoscopies go, I know there's a bunch of different tests that go on. How often should you have a colonoscopy?
Depends, but let's give you a little scenario. You take an otherwise healthy 50-year-old person, no family history, no genetic risks. We do a colonoscopy and some key factors. Our number one, the preparation is good. So if you're out there doing this, by all means, suffer through it. Because the better the prep, the better look we get.
Right.
If we get a good, clean look, do not find any polyps, that's a 10-year interval recommendation.
Okay.
If I find polyps, depending upon number and size, it could be a 5-year return, 3-year return, 1-year return, all depends.
Uh-huh.
And you talked about colorectal screenings that are obviously, it sounds like they're prior to being 50. Is this something that every family physician does, or is there any kind of screening test? I mean, you talked about blood in your stool. I mean, give us some examples, some testing outside the colonoscopy that you probably should be going through if you're...
Things to consider, but they're valuable. But what family physicians and internal medicine doctors, and they're slightly different there, will do is they can do what's called fecal occult blood testing. There's a couple of different types. That tests to see if there's hidden blood in the stool. Unfortunately, it's a very nonspecific test. So it doesn't always necessarily direct us a great deal, but can be somewhere helpful to get going on the process. More importantly is actually if you have any of the symptoms, any of the complaints or any doubts, talk to the doc. Let him check you out. Sometimes doing a simple rectal exam can be telling depending upon whether or not something is felt or seen.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like, I can go on to other tests too. But
sure.
Information-wise, because again, this is a cancer afflicted by more men than women?
Men more than women, but it's the third highest colon cancer incidence in men, second in women actually. It is higher in men than women, and actually in to be fair, in African Americans, it may have a higher risk in the sense that we should start screening them maybe at 45 and not 50 for reasons that we don't always fully understand. It just seems to be the statistics there. But not only do you do general health checks, to be fair also, there are other tests for doing screening of colon cancer. There's something called the flexible sigmoidoscopy or what's called the short look. And according to one of my senior partners, if you don't mind my saying it, it's a half-assed test. But it really had its role when technologically it was safer, when it's no longer, when the availability was more because colonoscopies were not. It's kind of faded from that role. Barium enemas are certainly doable, but they're not complete and they're not quite as good, and you'd have to couple that with the sigmoidoscopy. And there's something called CT colography where you use a CAT scanner to do it. The nice thing about that is it's a short run, 30 seconds right through. You still, unfortunately, have to prep. And if you find something, you're going to need a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
And it also has an X-ray risk, which we're beginning to understand may not be really good in the long term cumulatively. But that remains to be seen.
What does virtual colonoscopy mean?
That would be CT colonoscopy. Oh,
okay.
That's a CAT scan.
Okay.
And they called it virtual colonoscopy because you're not putting the scope in. You're using a CAT scanner to image the colon.
Got it.
You know,
it's
the standing kind of scare, you know, the 50-year-old colonoscopy. What is there to fear? I mean,
nothing.
Why is it such a stigma with having a colonoscopy?
You know, it's been a stigma, but I will tell you, in the family, look, I just celebrated my 50th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I assure you, when all my family has been visiting, and thank you all who showed up, I'm going to take that as a personal thing. Believe me, I got my questions, and believe me, I got my jokes. And I will tell you that people talk about this far more often now, and I think it's great.
Right.
There's nothing to fear. The preparation the night before is hardly a good evening. You're going to drink a liquid that doesn't taste very good. It's going to give you some cramping, some diarrhea, and bloating. When you come in, it's unnerving to release control, to ask yourself to be taken over by the physicians. The staff are great. You end up getting IV medications. People generally don't even remember or sleep through it. It's a comfortable procedure. It's really very safe. The risks are very low, and the gains are enormous.
I've had my dad has had issues, so I've been getting these since like I was 40, 45. And yeah, it's, you know, it's not as bad as it seems. The prep, the drinking of the stuff, that's probably the worst. I cannot drink.
We're working on that.
I can't have apple juice anymore because that's what I used. That's what I combined with this stuff. I could still taste it. But
yeah.
But as far as the procedure goes, it's you know, I've had a few of them. No big deal at all.
People,
yeah.
If I may, people worry about bleeding. People worry about tears in the colon.
Yeah.
The risks are incredibly low. We're talking about maybe 0.3 in 10,000 does that occur with bleeding.
Right.
The perforation risk, very low. So the only thing that people are risking is not doing it. Because as I said, and I said this, there'll be a little article coming out later also in one of the magazines. We not only catch colon cancer early, which I think is people's greatest fear because they don't want to know. It's almost the ostrich kind of let me put my head in the sand. And I always tell people when you do that, think about what you're leaving exposed.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're afraid to look, keep in mind that if I look and I take out polyps, I'll prevent cancer in you.
Right, right.
And I might help you direct how to handle your family. And so this is a gift to everybody involved.
Right. Yeah,
excellent point. Again, just to go back to what you said, this is an insidious cancer.
Yes.
It is one of these cancers that will sneak up on you, and a lot of times, like you said, by the time you have the symptoms that you can notice, the cancer is at a stage where it's harder to treat. Is that
yes.
Right?
Sometimes we get lucky, surgery, and we're done, and nothing else. Sometimes we find out it's spread. And I will tell you, I have had, you know, some cases where I've got the 42 or 43 year old person who comes in with a little bleeding. Fortunately, got checked by his doc and is off the statistical charts, and we find colon cancer.
Can you
rare.
Wow. Can you prevent colon cancer?
As best I know, no. There is no specific – people ask, can I do a dietary change? Do I eat too much red meat? Is there
– I've heard that red meat. Is that
– You know, there's some data to suggest that maybe there's a statistical increase, but then there's some competing data that says no. So right now the answer is we don't have any convincing evidence. There's not a specific diet, but then again, high vegetable, fruits and vegetables, low fat, generally a good health
just
diet.
Just like anything.
Follow.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it turns out that aspirin may very well help reduce the growth of polyps. There's two other drugs out there that have been used to help reduce them in that thing called FAP, familial adenomatous polyposis. So there may be a role there. And so that daily aspirin, 81 milligrams, 325 a day, may be helping not only your heart but your colon.
Wow,
we'll see more data
know.
As it comes down.
That
that's
is good to know. Is there certain countries, I mean, you know, that have higher statistics, colon cancer than others?
And now you're stretching my knowledge, but I will tell you the United States incidence is going down, and probably in part from the program, probably because we're diagnosing it early. As for other countries and higher, I'll be maybe making an error, so I won't quote it.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, that's great information. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for
go get
me.
A colonoscopy, Shannon.
50.
We'll do it live on Health Matters.
Hey, we'll do it on the radio. Are you Dr. Salzberg?
Well,
you
want to see, but I'll be happy to do it for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Exactly.
Thank
I
you
don't
for your time.
It.
Awesome
we'll
information.
We'll get a curtain or something like that.
Yeah.
Dr. Ed Sossford, thanks so much. Stick around. Health Matters, brought to you by Integrated Rehabilitation Group. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1380.